Well, can I indeed thank each and every one of you for your very warm words of welcome as the choir going back to their seats. Guys, what can I say? You did fantastic. That was absolutely brilliant. And thank you as a congregation for being behind them and encouraging them. I suppose I better introduce myself. My name's James Porter. I belong to Connor Presbyterian Church. As Gavin has said, it's Connor Presbyterian Church. No, I'm only joking. I love the people in Kells as well. But I belong to Connor Presbyterian Church, and over these past couple of years, I felt a real call in my life to enter into ordained ministry within the Presbyterian Church. And so this year I applied, and Richard has been a great help. He's been your convener here as well. And so that's how I got involved with YAB this year, and I really enjoyed myself, and I really did appreciate everything yous guys did. Yous were really encouraging to me, and I know that yous were encouraged as well. So thank you, and it's great to be here to bring God's word to you. But on YAB this year, we were looking at various teenagers within the Bible, who stood up for God. And as a result, God blessed them because they didn't conform to the world, and they didn't allow the people that were around them to conform them and do things that they knew Christ wouldn't want them to do. And tonight, I want to look at another young person within the Scriptures. However, this young person didn't stand up for Christ. He didn't realize his need of Christ. And we can read stories about David and Joseph and how God encouraged them and built them up. But we can also read stories, unfortunately, within the Bible and indeed in today's society, where people don't stand up for Christ and are accounted for. And so the story of the rich young ruler, I'm sure many of us have heard for many years since we were no height at all. But let us all come with open hearts and minds that we may see more of who Christ is and what he has done for us. Will you join me in a brief moment of prayer? Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word now, may you speak clearly to us. May you still our hearts and our minds that we may focus on what you have to say to us this evening. May you fill us with your spirit and may we leave here challenged and encouraged in our faith. We ask this in and through your son's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to love going on treasure hunts. I loved the buzz, the thrill, the excitement that I got from reading the clues or following the map. And then, of course, digging up that box or that treasure and finding the treasure that was contained, whether that was sweets, whether that was money. Sometimes Dad just sent me off just to get rid of me for a couple of hours. But nevertheless, I always enjoyed it. I always remember those exciting times. And within this passage, we see a young man who is searching for the ultimate treasure that he, as well as you and I, can find that is contained within the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not talking about the type of treasure like, you know, Jack Sparrow going out with his compass in the Pirates of the Caribbean, or indeed a type of treasure that is found in the book Treasure Island. He is searching for the ultimate treasure that we all can find contained in the kingdom of God. And our passage opens with this verse in verse 17. And we see this young man, he runs up to Christ and he asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And so tonight, I want to ask each of us the question, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? And the first point that I would like us to make this evening is that he thought that he was worthy. When Jesus replies to him, "You know the commandments," and then he goes on to recite some of them. "You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. Covet your neighbor's possessions." It's interesting to note that Christ emphasizes the commandments that deal primarily with man's relationship to man. However, he deals with the others later on, as we will see. And so what does this young man reply to Christ? Well, we read in verse 20, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy," or "since my youth," as some translations may translate it. Now, we aren't told in what manner he comes to Christ and says these things. There have been some commentators who have argued and discussed the fact that he comes in a kind of boastful attitude, a kind of "look at me, aren't I good" kind of approach. You see, this young man, he has the opinion that many of us have, unfortunately, in today's society. If I do good, if I give to charity, if I obey the law, if I even go to church, I'll be all right. I'll get to heaven. I don't need this Jesus stuff. But if you're a Christian here tonight, you will know that that is not the case. Titus 3, verse 5 reminds us, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." You see, it's not our works, our deeds, our church attendance that saves us, as important as these things are. But it is through Christ and his mercy and his grace that we are saved. And so in verse 21 then, we go on to read, remarkably, that Jesus looked at him with love. Isn't that amazing, folks? That even when we think, that when we say, and when we do things that we know are wrong, Christ still loves us. What a Savior we have. What a Savior. But yet, this young man, he couldn't see Christ's love because of his fundamental problem that he, as well as you and I, have in our lives. And that problem is sin. You see, he was blinded to the truth because of his idolatry, his good works. It was all about him and his reputation and his possessions. And so therefore, he breaks God's laws. And though to the world he may have seemed worthy because of his wealth, his status, his possessions, his obedience, in inverted commas, to the laws of God, Jesus, even though he loved him, could see his heart. What does it say in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17? "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And so therefore, Jesus looks at the man and says, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And with that, we move on to our second point this evening. He thought that he was worthy, but in fact, he was worldly. Here is Christ telling this young man exactly how he can inherit the treasure that is found in the kingdom of God. Jesus, he couldn't make it any clearer for him, just like he can't make it any clearer for us. But yet, what does this rich young ruler do? Well, we read in verse 22, it says that he was disheartened by the saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions or great wealth, as the NIV translates it. You see, this man had great wealth, and he wasn't willing to give it up. A few verses earlier, we see him boasting about the fact that he has kept all the commandments since his youth. But here, we see straight away that he breaks the first two commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself any idols. He broke God's laws because he was holding on to his worldly possessions. I wonder, are you doing that this evening? Are you? I hope not. John MacArthur, the American preacher, in his sermon entitled The Blasphemy of the Rich Young Ruler, he says about the rich young ruler, and I quote, that he never questioned what Jesus said. He never questioned the truthfulness of what Jesus said. He didn't equivocate. He didn't argue. He just walked away. You see, here we get to the bottom line of the rich young ruler's problem. You see, he knows that to inherit the kingdom of heaven, the eternal treasure of everlasting life, he has to give up his wealth and his possessions, and he isn't prepared to do that. To do so in his mind is too much. He wants to inherit eternal life as a kind of accessory, an add-on, if you like, to live his life however he pleases, surrounded by his wealth and everything in it. And then somehow, when he dies, to inherit the kingdom of God, the eternal treasure of everlasting life in heaven. I wonder this evening, does that sound familiar? If you're not a Christian tonight, is it because you're afraid that you don't want to give up the life you've had before? I wonder, are you putting your money, your family, your friends, your latest gadgets, your job, your social status even, before Christ? Do you think, like the modern world, that you can live your life however you please and then have God as a kind of backup plan in case something goes wrong or you become unwell or you get into difficulty? That's not how it works. It's not. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. At the end of the day, what use are your gadgets, your clothes, your social status, your job when you are dead? And believe it or not, there will be a day, and we don't know when we will all die. And everything that you've accumulated up over all these years, you'll not be able to take it with you. The only thing that you will be able to take with you is your soul. And you will either receive the treasure of pain, sorrow, and grief that is found in hell, or you will inherit the treasure of love, joy, and peace, and most importantly, forgiveness of sins through Christ in heaven. You see, Christ came to die on that cross so that we could inherit this eternal treasure, provided that we are repentant from our sins, that we turn away from them, that we deny ourselves, and that we pick up our cross and follow Him. But maybe tonight you are a Christian. But I wonder, are you hiding behind your religious practices? Okay, I go to church. I say my prayers. I read my Bible. I even help out with the organizations. Now, I'm not saying that those are bad things because they're important. But what I am saying is this, and please take heed to this. Do not put them between you and Christ. Don't let them take over your life like it did with the rich young ruler. And I know the Christian life is a hard one. I know it. There's always a temptation. There's always a trend. There's always something that everybody pushes upon us and we feel that we have to give in. Maybe we have to have the latest gadget. We maybe have to have the top job. We maybe have to go to university. We maybe have to get an education. We maybe have to have the designer labels, have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend. But at the end of the day, what use are these in comparison to having the assurance of the riches of God in heaven? Christ should be our number one priority, and everything else, well, that comes after. So, the rich young ruler thought that he was worthy, but he was actually worldly. And finally, he needed a way. I don't know if you've been to Castle Wellen Castle before, but when I was younger in Dunclog, that's where I went for secondary school, we used to go every year with our SU. And it was always a great weekend, and I really enjoyed it, and we always learned so much. But if you've been, you'll know that there's a maze down the road, quite a big maze. And to get out of it, you have to work your way to the center, and there's a bridge, and you'll be able to get out that way. And there's a bell as well. I think that's just for the kids to ring, going, "Yes, I've got out. But one day, I was in fifth year at the time, and we'd been a couple of years before, and I suggested, how about we go down to the maze before dinner? And yes, of course, the guys, yeah, we'll go down for a bit of crack, that's grand. And then there was a group of third-year girls, and they wanted to go as well. They hadn't been before. And I don't know why they wanted to come with us. Maybe it was me, I don't know, but it still hasn't really worked, and I'm still single. But anyway, but we decided that we would go nevertheless. And so we all headed down, and we arrived at the maze. We arrived at the entrance, and well, how can I put this? There was a leader of the group, of the girls, right? And she liked to talk, right? And she's one of these people, you know, that they knew everything about everything. You know the type of people I'm on about. And I remember her turning around to us and saying, "You know what? How about we have a race, boys against girls?" Of course, us guys, yep, we've been before. We know the shortcuts. We know where to go. And so we agreed, and off we went. And I remember she turned around and said, "Follow me, girls. I know where to go." Well, you can guess how the story ends. 15, 20 minutes later, us guys had managed to work our way to the center to get out. And then there was a sigh of frustration we heard from the girls because we had beat them. And then that was okay. We were standing up. We could see them all. We were laughing at them. It was great crack. And then all of a sudden comes up this cry, "Guys, help us. We're lost. We don't know where to go." Now, the guys would rather have just left them there because it was funny. But I felt kind of bad. And so I got up and I looked out and I could see where they were and I was able to bring them back in and they managed to get out. But you see, she, as well as this rich young ruler, thought that they knew the way. But they didn't. They both needed someone to intervene, to take control, and to show them the right path. And Jesus came to show us the right way. And it is through him that we can inherit this eternal treasure. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 6, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is our only way. It's not our deeds. It's not our actions. Not our works that we are saved. Jesus is the only way. And so then we read on in the passage that Jesus goes on to tell the disciples how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And how it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. An impossible task for our human minds to understand. And the disciples don't understand. And they question, well then, who can be saved? I can just about get a piece of thread through the eye of a needle, let alone a camel. It seems impossible. But what does Christ reply? "With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." I love that verse. Because although to us it may seem impossible that God would want us, that God could save us, and that God would even care for us, the thing is, he does, he can, and he will. Christ comes, and he fulfills this law that this rich young ruler is clinging on to. And it is through Christ's death that he provides for us the only way to inherit the eternal treasure of heaven that is everlasting life. And so I started this evening by asking you all the question, where is your treasure? Is it held up on worldly, materialistic, mortal things like the rich young ruler? If that's you this evening, can I urge you to strongly think about what you're doing? The Lord reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't do it. You can't serve the world and Christ. You can't. Jesus has said, you either despise one or love the other. I hope that tonight you will come and that you will love Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Or I wonder, is your treasure already held up in Christ? Are you a Christian tonight? And if you are, that's great. Keep going. Keep going. But I've said it once, and I'll say it again. If your life is held up in Christ, then are you living a life that shows it? Remember, it's one thing to say that you're a Christian, but it's another thing to live a life that shows Christ in all that you do. Can I urge each of us this evening, whether saved or not, young or old, to make sure that Christ is number one in our lives. Don't walk away from him like the rich young ruler did. Because you know what? Without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we cannot ever hope to receive the eternal treasure that is found through Christ, and in him alone is it found. You young folk know that I like to finish on a passage of Scripture. And I want to finish on what Jesus said to the disciples. But if you want to come and speak to someone tonight, please do. Come and speak to me. Come and speak to your leaders. You have an amazing group of leaders. Speak to them. Don't leave this place tonight. And that goes for each and every one of us. Do not leave this place without knowing Christ. Do not walk away from him like the rich young ruler did. To do so is sheer folly. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Let us pray. Lord, we are unworthy to be called your children. We are unworthy to inherit this treasure of everlasting life. But yet, Lord, we thank you that you're a God who loves us and cares for us. A God who is willing and able to save us if we are truly repentant from our sins. Lord, may you bless each of us here tonight. If we are not saved this evening, may you draw very near to us and show us our need of a Savior. And if we are Christians here this evening, help us to live lives that show it. Help us not to hide behind religious practices and laws, but to stand firm in your name. We ask all of these things in and through your Son's precious name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final hymn this evening.